committee. This meeting is to collect feedback on proposed changes to Division 21. And please note that this meeting is being recorded. Hopefully that just popped up on your screen. So I'm going to get started with introducing the board staff on the call today. So hopefully you recall me. My name is Laura Blackhurst. I use she, her pronouns. And I am a nurse and a policy analyst for the board focusing in nursing education. And so I'm facilitating this meeting today. I'll then pass it off to my peers who also work at the board and let them introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, everyone. Rachel Prusak, Executive Director of the Board of Nursing. Happy to be here. And my dog just jumped up on my back and you may have caught that or not. Good to be here with you all.
Good afternoon. My name is Kimberly Goddard. I work here at the State Board as Chief of Staff, and I'm really excited to be here today.
Hello, my name is Nicole Van Winkle, and I'm an education program coordinator for the Board of Nursing and admin to Laura.
Great, thank you. I think that's all of the staff on the call today. So then I will move into attendance. And so we'll proceed with RAC member attendance and then onto ground rules. So if I could have the RAC members use the chat. Please share your name, your job title, and your organizational affiliation, if applicable. I'll give you all a moment to enter that. And then while people are entering their names, if there's anyone here in attendance who is not a RAC member, if you could still please put your full name in the chat. And if anyone has called in by phone, we will collect names after, but actually looking at the call, I think no one by phone. All right, then that concludes the RAC membership attendance. So then I'm going to move on to our ground rules before we get started. So as a reminder, today's meeting, we are looking at draft changes or edits to the Division 21 rules. RAC member reactions will be collected by and reviewed by board staff to assure that public protection is upheld and the legal jurisdiction of the board is maintained. We ask that everyone be respectful of others through actions and comments. So please mute your cell phones, minimize background noise or distractions, and please do not use the chat feature for any side conversations or comments. RAC members, we will be proceeding through the draft language for Division 21. We are resuming today at Rule 0050, Section 5, which you can find at the bottom of page 11 of the draft. To signal that you have a reaction to communicate, please virtually raise your hand and wait to be recognized. Persons with their hands raised will be called upon or recognized by the moderator, which is me. And then each time you are recognized, please unraise your hand, unmute your mic, state your name, and then present your reaction. You may be asked for clarification and or rationale, and then please just mute yourself when finished commenting. Please do not repeat a reaction that someone else has communicated. Once communicated, a reaction is recorded and does not need repeating. And then finally, for today's meeting, we are collecting advisory input from our interested parties. We are not doing any education on information unrelated to Division 21. All right. Thank you all for letting me get through that. I'm really excited to work with you all again today. I'm so sorry. It's been several weeks since our last meeting. Those pesky back-to-school illnesses struck my household pretty hard. Before we get started with the work we've been doing, just looking at the large Division 21 changes, like I shared in my email, I wanted to notify you of other smaller work that is happening in Division 21 related to a temporary rule we've had in place. So Nicole, I think, is going to share her screen and show you what I'm talking about. I had attached it to my email last week, but I, like I said, I promised to explain the process. So back in June, prior to this RAC meeting, the board had adopted a temporary rule. And so what you're looking at is the really minor temporary changes we made to one of our rules around nursing faculty. Now, the reason this is coming up is that temporary rules are temporary. They only last for 180 days. And so I am going to be asking the board to maybe make this one change permanent while our group continues our other work on Division 21. We have found that this minor wording changes of just getting the ability to give exceptions for nurse administrators has been really important for some of the nursing programs in our state. So I like to be really transparent, and I don't want you to be surprised if you're hearing about permanent rules being changed in Division 21 or rule hearings happening related to Division 21. We are looking at a really minor change to the current rules while this group still does our bigger work. So are there any questions about that or that temp rule process, trying to make something permanent? Okay. You can always reach out and clarify with me if needed. Otherwise, let's go back to looking at our bigger work today. So I'll let Nicole update what we're looking at. All right, so the pink highlight is indicating where we are starting. We are looking at the standards for practical nursing programs. I think we have sections A, B, and C, little A, little B, and little C. And so if there's any comment on any of those sections. All right, I guess if no comment there, we can move on and we can always come back if needed. Nicole, can you scroll us down? Let's see. So let's look at section 6. Now we are looking at curricula standards for our registered nursing programs. So again, we have sections little A, little B, and little C. Any comments on any of these items? Okay, I'll give you a moment to scan. All right. No comments. And as you can see on the screen, we did get a written comment about spelling, which I greatly appreciate. All right. If no comments, I guess we'll move on. So then section 7 is our rules for advanced practice nursing programs. These rules don't currently live in Division 21, so we are pulling these over from Division 51. Again, I'm just going to be quiet so you can scan. Okay. I will take that as no comment. Then let's move on to rule 0055. So this is program responsibilities for students. It's a pretty small rule, so any comment on any of these 5 sections we're looking at? All right. I feel like you guys are going easy on me today. Maybe we just got it right in our draft. Any comments? It's okay, Nicole. Let's scroll on to rule 0065. So this is facilities and resources. And again, it's a pretty short rule. So looking at these four sections, any comments or feedback? All right. If no comments or feedback on this one, then I guess we can keep moving. Oh, Cynthia, I'd love to call on someone.
Hi, Laura. Cynthia McDaniel with Elderwise Nurse Learn. I was just curious if you wanted to, on 65, number four, at the last sentence where it says practice site, but up on the second sentence, it said clinical experience site. Did you want it to be the same? Does it need to be the same?
You know what? That is a great comment. So I see line three, clinical site, line four, clinical site, and where?
On that third yeah. line for four, it says practice site, but on the second line for four, it says clinical experience site. So I just didn't know if those needed to be the same.
Yeah, I think as much as we can use consistent language. So thank you for highlighting that. Any other comments or thoughts about this rule? Hey, George.
Okay. Nothing specific, but in general, again, I am concerned about mental health, psychiatric nursing, and while we are looking at general language and schools need to have flexibility, I am concerned about consistency of education for those psychiatric and mental health topics.
Okay. Thank you for that comment. I am noting it. Any other feedback? Katie, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I guess just a clarifying question on four. Are you guys looking that like clinical affiliation agreements is where this would be documented?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think...
And as long as the intent is represented there, or are you guys looking to have specific...
I think the intent is not that we are determining the specific language in your agreement, but I'm glad you actually raised this point. In other places in Division 21, I think we actually use the term affiliation agreement. Yeah. And I, again, wanting to be consistent in language, that's really good that you asked that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or feedback on this one? Then I will let Nicole finish adding any comments before we move further. Our next rule is 0070, Outcomes and Evaluation. And in this rule, I want to call your attention. We really relocated our rule about NCLEX standards, which used to occur very early in Division 21. Now we incorporate it as part of the outcome and evaluation of your program. So that is here in item four. And I think there's probably going to be feedback or discussion on that. So again, opening up this rule to any comments. Angie, I believe your hand's up first.
Yep. Does this say then that if you're accredited, that there's no NCLEX passing standard? Is that my reading of that?
Yes, but it's because the accrediting agency has an NCLEX standard. And so our intent here is not that you have to meet our standard and their standard, because we're going to push that all programs become accredited within a couple of years of their development. Then they meet whatever the standard being prescribed by their accreditor is.
Okay.
Yeah. Sandy, you are up next.
Thank you. Sandy Kellogg, Chemeketa Community College. That is, my question is addressing number four. Do we need number four in here if we are moving that all programs need to be accredited?
My thinking is yes, because those first couple years that a nursing program is operating, where they're working towards accreditation, we want to make sure that we're still keeping an eye on their NCLEX rate those first couple years.
So then do we need to have that as part of this sentence in four, like maybe nursing education programs who are working on obtaining accreditation status must maintain the following NCLEX standards?
Yeah, I think that makes sense to clarify. Thank you, Sandy. Lois, you are up next. Oh, I thought you were.
I had to figure out how to unmute. Sorry.
No worries.
Okay, so this just to clarify on number four. I mean, I know we had talked about people having accreditation. Sometimes things happen, and places may lose their accreditation and need to redo things. So this will cover that too, as while they're still, and if you're changing the verbiage to working on it, I guess if they had a mishap and they had to redo something and they're still working on it again after they've had it, that would still need to be in there. I don't think this can be removed after everybody has accreditation because things happen.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it also highlights that the push is that you're always working towards accreditation, even if you lose it. We want you to be working towards getting it back. Thank you. Holly, your hand looks like it's up next.
Yes, thank you. Holly Caldwell, Concordia, St. Paul. Had a question here about the items that are not really outcomes evaluation areas. Mm-hmm. So when we look at accreditation standards now, they're moving away from requiring a SEP or a PEP on every single key element or standard. And so most of what we're having to actually keep written plans on has to do with actual program outcomes, which are NCLEX pass rates, job completion rates, faculty outcomes, and the PSLOs, or the end of program student outcomes. We are not being asked anymore to keep long-term systematic evaluation plans with regard to things like faculty qualifications or resources. So I'm wondering if maybe items F and G could be looked at and put back up into their respective sections to say that those areas get evaluated, you know, that the program has to have a plan of evaluation for the adequacy of those. But I don't know that having it here as a requirement for a SEP or a PEP ongoing that way is necessarily consistent with accreditation anymore.
Great. Thank you so much for that feedback. That'll prompt me to go dig into some accreditation standards. Any other feedback on this item or this rule? Okay, I think before we move on, I do want to call your attention to, again, that NCLEX standard. Currently, Oregon has that minimum 75% first-time pass rate. So this is changing that minimum to an 80% first-time pass rate. Again, that tends to be the national trend. Oregon was actually a little low compared to other states. And so I felt comfortable bumping it to 80, but again, want to make sure that the RAC has a chance to consider that. Okay. Holly, it's you again.
In that, I think, you know, when we look at CCNEA and some of the other, and ACEA and CNEA, CCNEA actually gives us a variety of methods by which to calculate first-time NCLEX pass rates, and I'm wondering if it would be helpful for us to be somewhat consistent with those that are not necessarily, I don't think they're even based on 12 months anymore. So there might be some, I think there's three different configurations. Somebody help me. Pam?
I think you're right. I think there are three options for calculating.
Yeah. So that, you know, we could look at that because ACEN is basically going to go by what the state says, mm-hmm. right? It goes by the state accreditor, the state regulatory agency. So if we went with CCNE or something similar, it would give us more options and you're not locked into, like, if you have a bad year.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Noting that feedback. Sandy, your turn again.
Yes, thank you. So actually ACEN just changed to, I think, something similar to what you just described. It's a rubric or an algorithm that you follow that if they don't meet this first level, then you move to the next level and the ending is an ultimate pass rate. So it's a little bit different now. I'm going to grab that really quick and I'll share it with you, Laura, in an email so that you can share it with the group. It'll take me a little bit, though.
Great. I appreciate it. I think, yeah, I definitely want to double check what our accreditors are saying, especially if they're changing things. All right. Any other comments or feedback? Okay. Then keep moving. So this next section of the rule actually has no changes from what is currently in the rule, partially because we are still sort of re-evaluating re-entry programs in Oregon. I just for your knowledge, there's only one program in Oregon and it's likely going to close. And so this is not a section of our rules that we're like utilizing very heavily right now, but these do exist. And so if you'd like to provide comment on any of these, you're welcome to. But again, this is actually unchanged from what's currently in the rule. And so I guess there's a lot here. So I think we'll go slow. Anything in section one? Holly.
Laura, in Oregon, would we ever consider looking at our reentry programs as a possible option to funnel students who've waited longer than 2 years to take the NCLEX?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I know in Colorado, that is one of the things. If you didn't test like you should have after your initial education, then they have a requirement that they must go through a reentry program. And that has been helpful for getting people back into the workforce and also making sure they stay educated. So it's an option, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I see Director Prusak is ready to jump on that one.
Well, I was also going to provoke you to speak to it as well, because this is something that we've been digging into. So we've been digging into it for a couple of reasons, and I'm just going to kind of, since there were not a lot of people talking at the beginning, I know we're not short on time, and it's just for conversation purpose and big picture, but with the issues with the, you know, for-profit fraudulent scheme out of Florida, one of the reasons why Oregon was able to identify almost all of the applications, meaning as soon as we knew, the state knew, National Council State Board of Nursing knew, FBI knew that there was an issue, we were able to identify them all in applications. Now, before that, there were eight that got through, but other states that were either in the compact or have endless amounts of the ability to take your NCLEX over and over again. And in some states, people were taking them, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you all this, in the 80s. So we've really been looking at this for the states across the nation who did have it endless. How do they go back to what is the plan? How many times? What is the year mark? And what is the remediation plan? And so the reason why Oregon didn't have a lot and held up in applications is you couldn't come here and just take your NCLEX endlessly. And we're not in the compact. But what Laura did was submit a survey to National Council of State Board of Nursing to really look at, as Washington and I and Oregon is really partnering on how we can be more similar, because if not, there's just loopholes. And so how can we really align? And given they were one of the states that was endless, they just went to the board last month and said, how do we change this? And one of the recommendations was, if it wasn't 2 years, what would it be? Would it be 3 times? Would it be 4 times? Because every once in a while, we do have that person that life circumstance happens and it's 2 years and 1 month or 2 years and 2 months. And so do we really need to, how do we, you know, handle that? And so I think what Laura learned, and you can share it, but there isn't consistency across the states of how they handle remediation. I think you found some were told to go back to school. Some did reentry. But is a reentry program similar to what you would need for remediation if reentry includes clinicals? And so there was every state doing something different. And my hope is that we can start. But I don't know if you want to share any more details to what you learned on that survey. But I know when we collected it and shared it with Washington and everyone else to really show how we should move towards standardizing that and being very similar. But yeah, I know you could dig in a little better than I, Laura.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's pretty shockingly inconsistent out there. Like, states really do not know what to do when, you know, a student doesn't pass the NCLEX after 2 years or 5 tries or unlimited number of tries. Like, how do we remediate these students? And is reentry the same as a refresher? Is the other debate I found, depending on the state. So I think in Oregon, these standards for reentry programs, like historically, what they've been used for are the reentry to practice after maybe discipline to your license, or reentry to practice if you have been a nurse and can't renew your license because you don't have the practice hours to renew your license. And so it would be a different way of utilizing these programs than we've utilized them in the past. But I think we are interested in finding ways to support these students in ultimately passing the NCLEX. So, Holly, I'll let you take it. Oh, you are muted.
On the higher education side of that, if we have people coming back to us and saying, hey, I've been told I need to go to nursing school again, we can't put them back through a nursing program again for a degree that they've already earned.
I know. It was interesting when we learned that was what some people were told to do. Yeah. But what we did do, though, is we are using the virtual reentry program from Colorado. Our licensing manager just set up a relationship with them, too, to ensure that we are making sure as the potential for this one school in Oregon that was local transitions to a different type of training. We have this and we have the relationship. We get the information on our website. But just thinking into the future, right, like what is that standard, not standardization, because across the country, because it's just never going to happen. But how do we encourage each state to do more of that? And then what does that look like so we feel confident and comfortable? And then do we in Oregon in Division 31 change 2 years limit to 3 attempts or 4 attempts, right, so that it is open? But thanks for that. And thanks for letting me talk.
Nicole, you can scroll us so we look a little further. Again, these reentry programs are getting people back into practice, so they do have some standards for faculty and faculty responsibilities. Again, this is for someone who has been a nurse and is trying to get that nursing license back, whether they've been out of practice or post-discipline. So not quite the same as, you know, nursing school the first time through to get your license. Nicole, I'll let you scroll a little further. All right. I think the very final page is just kind of what that clinical looks like for re-entry into practice. And I think, like Rachel and I were saying, that is also some of our debate. Like, if we're going to use this maybe in the future as more like NCLEX remediation, do you need to redo clinical? Again, some debate I know on both sides. And again, knowing that placements can be difficult, you know, this is going to be something that takes up placements. Lois.
All right. So I had, we had looked, our college, Sumner College, had looked into opening a reentry program, and it's tricky. I mean, because you're gonna have to spend money to do this, and yet schools, the students don't pay much for these programs, and you've got to have clinical, you've got to have clinical faculty. And the thing is, they're coming in from all over the state, so it's a little tricky. But as far as like a person who's been out of practice and needs to redo their license, or they haven't done well on NCLEX, and so they haven't practiced, I almost think they do need the clinical experience too, to put it all together. We had just been approached from a student who's failed the NCLEX, I guess, 4 times. And so we're putting him in a 26-hour remediation program, and just donating one of our faculty to say, okay, you're going to do this to help these people. But if there was a specific type of program, that would be great. Just what would it look like? And we want, like you said, we don't want to be consistent, but I do think they, even this person, he hasn't passed it that many times. If he learns enough to pass a test, I still want to make sure he's safe in practice. So I think clinical needs to happen.
Can I jump in and just ask too, what, so you just are supporting the student through where they went to school, and you created your own remediation type program?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're using ATI, so the student's not paying for it. We're paying for it, and supporting them, because we don't want them just left out there. I mean, if he's willing to come forward and share what happened in his life, that this has happened to him, but we want to make sure he's safe.
And then depending on how many years it's been.
I know you have the 2 years, so obviously this guy's been taking it consistently before 2 years, if he can.
Yeah, I think it's 49 days when it resets, so you could potentially do that. But that's interesting. I really do look forward how we potentially do something in this space. Okay, yeah, thanks for letting me jump in.
We're willing to help in any way we can, but need some ideas on this stuff. But just opening a reentry program is a little difficult to do.
Yeah. Thanks for telling us about that. I know we are going to keep mulling over this for a lot of time to come. Wendy, it looks like your hand is up next.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I've had problems today. Excellent. Slightly off topic, but definitely something to inform on this, like the last speaker was just saying, kind of merging my two worlds. My first law job when I graduated from law school was to work in the Dean of Students office for a university and look at their bar passage rates. And very similar to this, large high stakes test. And after 4 attempts, which was 2 years of the bar, we found that the bar passage rate went to essentially zero. And that really the student, if they did not get it at that point, needed additional assistance, needed to go back and repeat some classes, needed some on-the-ground training, paralegal training, something like that, in order to be able to accomplish that goal. So I know that, there's a bigger timeline.
Yeah, and that is, jumping back in here, that's exactly from the states that had endless, there's probably a better term for it, but my brain can't think of it right now. But, you know, being able to test for NCLEX over and over and over again, no year limit, no amount limit. They noticed that if you hadn't passed by 4th, that was the same thing. Those were the ones that just kept going and going and going. And we can't We can't have that. We can't have you take it 87 times. So that's exactly, though, what they found here.
Yeah.
We just haven't standardized anything yet across the nation. Until we do that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Otherwise, that is our rules for re-entry. And then just for your awareness, what is not in these rules at the end, but I need to put back in our next draft, are our rules for the out-of-state programs that operate in Oregon. And so this is just an area where, again, continuing to sort of research how other states are doing it, especially our neighboring states. Still looking at our own history and process and statutes. And so didn't have draft language in July when this draft was originally developed. It's been so long, but I will have rule language that we'll see in our next draft of these rules. But otherwise, Nicole, I think are we at the end? Oh my gosh, we made it. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about what next steps will look like. So you as a group have given me a tremendous amount of feedback. What we've already started doing is really thinking and investigating on some of the feedback we've already heard from you. So we will probably spend the next couple of weeks back in these rules, making edits and polishing another draft. So I'm not anticipating something super soon. It'll take us a little bit of time to kind of go through our own internal process. What I'll do is when we are ready and we've got a second draft to share out, we'll again reach out to you all and start scheduling some future RAC meetings so that you can look at a more polished version where we've heard and thought about your feedback. And so hopefully, on our next draft, either you will see feedback that we've incorporated, or we'll talk about here's what we heard, but here's where we're landing based on sort of our research and evidence and guidance from the board. What questions are out there? Okay. Carla, is that you?
It is me. Hi, Laura. thank you so much. I was just wondering if this is a possibility, but I think I remember language that said that the cap on enrollment was lifted because the board determined it did not have statutory authority to put caps on. And I thought, well, I'm just going to ask the question because we hope to grow. And I'm wondering if that's something that just similar to what we did with the other change to permanent that was just done. I didn't know if that was something that we had the option that we could kind of push that forward ahead of the whole shebang being approved.
That's a really good question. I think we did discuss that, and that was kind of our sense that we were doing a bit more regulation of enrollment than maybe our statutes allowed. But I think that is really wrapped up in a lot of the rules in Division 21. And so I think that one, it would be very difficult to pull that out and just push that forward as a permanent rule. I think we'll probably have to do more all of it at once.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments? All right. I am so grateful for your time and your feedback. I'm really glad we made it through this first draft of rules. And so I'm hopeful I'll be reaching out to you in the coming weeks for, again, more feedback and next steps. All right. Thank you so much for your time today. Please have an hour of it back.